Akarnya majam ayam, ಯಥಾಗತಂ ರಾಜಶ್ಯ ಭದ್ರಂ ಅಭದ್ರಶ್ಯ ಕುತೋ ಮಮ
put his faith in this message, for he was doubtful how it could happen. He considered himself the most wretched, and therefore he thought it was not possible for him to attain such good fortune. Prabhadruva Maharaj, a 5-year-old boy, went to the forest for penance and austerity, and the king could not at all believe this small boy of such a tender age could live in the forest. It was certain that Dhruva was dead, and therefore could not fix his faith in the message that Dhruva Maharaj was coming back home again. For him, this message said that a dead man was coming back home, and so he could not believe it. After Dhruva Maharaj's departure from home, King Uttanapada thought that he was the cause of Dhruva's leaving, and thus he considered himself the most wretched. Therefore, even though it was possible that his lost son was coming back from the kingdom of death, he thought that since he was most sinful, it was not possible for him to be so fortunate as to get back his lost son. Text 38, although he could not believe the words of the messenger, he had full faith in the word of the great sage Narada. Thus he was gravely overwhelmed by the news, and immediately offered the messenger a highly valuable necklace and great satisfaction. Then King Uttanapada, being very eager to see the face of his lost son, mounted a chariot drawn by excellent horses and bedecked with gold and filigree, taking with him many learned brahmanas, all the elderly personalities, his family, his officers, his ministers, and his immediate friends, immediately left the city. As he proceeded in this parade, there was auspicious sounds of conch shells, drums, flutes, and the chanting of Vedic mantras to indicate good fortune. Both the queens of King Uttanapada, namely Suniti and Suruchi, along with his other son Uttama, appeared in the procession. The queens were seated on a palanquin. But after the departure of Dhruva Maharaj from the palace, the king was afflicted, but by the kind words of St. Narada, he was partially satisfied. He could understand the great fortune of his wife Suniti and the great misfortune of King Suruchi, for these facts were certainly very open in the palace. But still, when the news reached the palace that Dhruva Maharaj was returning his mother, Suniti, out of her great compassion and due to being the mother of a great Vaishnava, did not hesitate to take the other wife Suruchi and her son Uttama on the same palanquin. That was the greatness of Queen Suniti, the mother of the great Vaishnava Dhruva Maharaj. Upon seeing Dhruva Maharaj approaching the neighboring small forest, King Uttanapada with great haste got down from his chariot. He had been very anxious for a long time to see his son Dhruva, and therefore with great love and affection he went forward to embrace his long-lost boy. Breathing very heavily, the king embraced him with both arms, but Dhruva Maharaj was not the same as before. He was completely sanctified by spiritual advancement due to having been touched with the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Reunion with Dhruva Maharaj filled King Uttanapada's long-cherished desire, and for this reason he smelled Dhruva Maharaj's head again and again and bathed him with torrents of cold tears. Wherefore, by nature's way, when a man cries, there may be two causes. When one cries great happiness upon the fulfillment of some desire, The tears coming forth from the eyes are very cold and pleasing, whereas the tears at times of distress are very hot. Then Dhruva Maharaj, the foremost of all nobles, first of all offered his obeisance at the feet of his father and was honored by his father with various questions. He then bowed his head at the feet of his two mothers. Wherefore it may be questioned why Dhruva Maharaj offered his respect not only to his mother but also to his stepmother, due to whose insults he had to leave home. And after achieving perfection by self-realization and seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, Dhruva Maharaj was completely freed from all contamination of material desire. Feelings of insult and honor in this material world are never perceived by a devotee. Lord Chaitanya therefore says that one has to be humbler than a blade of grass, and he recommends more tolerant than a tree to execute devotional service. Dhruva Maharaj therefore has in this verse been described as Sajjan Agrini, the foremost of noble men. The pure devotee is the noblest of all, and he has no feelings of animosity towards anyone. Duality due to animosity is the creation of this material world. There is no such thing in the spiritual world which is absolute reality. Suruchi, the younger mother of Dhruva Maharaj, seeing that the innocent boy had fallen at her feet, immediately picked him up, embraced him with her hands, and with tears of feeling, she blessed him with the words, "My dear boy, may you live. Long may you live. Unto one who has transcendent qualities due to friendly behavior with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all living entities offer honor, just as water automatically flows down by nature." Wherefore, the question may be raised in this connection why Suruchi, who was not at all favorably disposed towards Dhruva, blessed him, "Long may you live," which means that she also desired good fortune for him. The answer is given in this verse, as Dhruva Maharaj was blessed by the Lord. Due to his transcendental qualities, everyone was bound to offer him all respects and benedictions, just as water by its nature flows downwards. A devotee of the Lord does not demand respect from anyone, but wherever he goes, he is honored by everyone throughout the whole world with all respect. Srinivas Acharya said that the six Goswamis of Vrindavan are respected throughout the entire universe because a devotee, having pleased the Supreme Personality of God at the source of all emanations, automatically pleases everyone, and thus everyone offers him respect. The two brothers, Uttama and Dhruva Maharaj, also exchanged their tears. They were overwhelmed by the ecstasy of love and affection. And when they embraced one another, the hairs in the body stood on end. Suniti, the mother, real mother of Dhruva Maharaj, embraced the tender boy, body of her son, who was dearer than her very life, and thus forgot all material greed, for she was very pleased. Translation: King Uttana Bhatta heard that his son Dhruva was coming back home as if coming back to life after death. He could not put his faith in this message, for he was doubtful how it could happen. He considered himself the most wretched, and therefore he thought that it was not possible for him to attain such good fortune. So these verses describe the return of Dhruva, and as we see, there was repentance on the part of the father, Uttana Bhatta, the stepmother also. Dhruva, of course, also, because he was completely purified, had no animosity towards his stepmother or his father or to his brother, which is natural, because as described in these verses, the devotee of the Lord develops all good qualities, and the devotee, of course, must have all the qualities that a person who has developed knowledge has. So in terms of jnana, usually it is described that the jnani sees everything equally. He's samadarshana. He sees the cow and the tiger, the chandala, the brahman all as one. So he makes no distinction between them and does not give greater respect to one and less respect to the other. they're all equal. Of course, the Jnani also sees like this because many of them see everything as illusory, so therefore everything is insignificant. The Vaishnava, however, sees everything equally as a living entity, and everyone is a servant of the Lord. So he takes them this way. Nevertheless, we also see that there are demons. So some jivas are demons and some are devotees. So the devotee also makes those distinctions. And if he doesn't, generally the devotee may associate with the wrong type of person and end up with bad effects. So if he associates with the demons, he becomes demonic. When he associates with the devotees, then he becomes a devotee. So one has to watch one's association as a devotee. On a higher level, however, we see that these distinctions disappear. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, there's a description of the qualities of the Uttam Adhikari. So this Uttam Adhikari is like this. He doesn't see difference again. He sees everything as connected to the Supreme Lord. And he makes no distinction between demons and devotees anymore, understanding that they're all under the will of the Lord. However, it is pointed out that those who are Madhyamadhikari should make distinctions in order to advance in bhakti. They have to distinguish between demons and devotees, etc. So there is some distinction on the part of the normal devotee of the material world for his advancement. However, one who is on the highest level of prema, he does not see distinctions like this. Out of prema, because everything is somehow related to the Lord. So anyway, Dhruva, because he had a realization of the Lord, did not have any more vesha or hostility. So the devotee automatically, by his advancement, destroys the concept of I desire this and I don't like this, based upon the fact that things we want will fulfill our material desires and things we don't like are obstacles to our desires. So the stepmother and Uttama and the king were obstacles to Dhruva's desire for a kingdom. So therefore he would be hostile towards them under normal circumstances. However, by the meeting the Lord and the mercy of Narada Muni, then he understood that all of this was useless. And he gave up, of course, by realization of the Lord, he gave up his desire for kingdom and consequently all material desires, and therefore Ichchadvesha all disappeared. So he had no more hostility towards his father or stepmother or his brother. So that is depicted here in these verses where he offered his respects to all of these persons sincerely, not just superficially, but very sincerely, understanding they were not subject to hatred at all, because his desire itself was useless. And on the other hand, we see that his father, his brother and his stepmother, they also welcomed him. They also held no animosity towards him, though previously the stepmother particularly had hostility towards Dhruva as a competitor for the throne. So now she had given up all of this hostility. So the reason is stated here, and that is that if one becomes a devotee of the Supreme Lord, then he develops all good qualities and all living entities naturally give respect to that person. So this, of course, is stated in the Nectar Devotion. One of the qualities of bhakti is subhada, which means all good qualities manifest within the devotee by the process of bhakti. And another meaning of subhada is that all living entities are affectionate towards that devotee. And of course, another means that he's affectionate towards all living entities. So Dhruva had affection for everyone. He had given up hostility. He understood everybody as a servant of the Lord. So he had developed that quality. And he had developed all the qualities. And consequently, his, all of his family members gave him great respect because of his wonderful qualities. So that is seen here where the stepmother offers respects very sincerely. Why? Because he had developed such wonderful qualities. So in this way, by the practice of bhakti, we see that things become adjusted. So Dhruva gave up his desires, he gave up his hostility, and the family members gave up their hostility also, and they gave him great respect. So we see that very willingly the father gave him the kingdom ultimately. And brother also did not interfere with that. So in this way, his material desire also was fulfilled. His previous material desire was fulfilled. So in this story, we will see that material desires create an impediment for bhakti. Nevertheless, the Lord responds even to a devotee with material desires. Second, that hopefully with the advancement of bhakti, the devotee will give up those desires and he will develop all the wonderful qualities and thereby gain the respect of all people. And the Lord, on the other hand, though he sees people with a mix of devotion, he prefers pure bhakti, but at the same time, he also rewards those who have material desires, and so those desires are fulfilled. He does not ignore those desires. So he fulfills those desires also. So in this way, the Lord is very merciful to devotees, and he fulfills all their desires. And in the case of Dhruva, even though Dhruva took the kingdom as an impediment, it did not act as an obstacle because he did not fall from his position. And the Lord promised, of course, that he would attain the Supreme Lord, which he did finally. So it was not a problem or an obstacle for him having that kingdom. So this way we see the great mercy of the Supreme Lord, how he responds to his devotees. The other case of mixed bhakti we see in the Bhagavatam is that of Gajendra. So he also immediately responded to Gajendra, and he helped him in spite of his mixed bhakti. So we should never think that the Lord will ignore such persons. At the same time, we should understand that pure bhakti is the process followed and recommended in the Bhagavatam, and therefore most of the examples we will see are pure bhakti. So we have the case of Ambarish or something like that. That's pure bhakti. We don't find any mixture there at all. So though these cases are presented and the devotees are glorified, still the process of pure bhakti is the highest process, and that is the process
when a pure devotee tells someone that prayer to become a blessing, but then Guru Maharaj's stepmother was really harsh towards against the Guru, but that wasn't yet a blessing for him to see the God. But she's not a pure devotee.
Well, generally pure devotees will not curse people.
Like Narada Muni says that Pueda, you know, the sons of Pueda.
Yeah, generally they don't. Their curses are actually blessings. So we see in Nalakavara, the sons of Kavara were actually, the curse was a blessing for them. In that sense, they got the darshan of Krishna. In the case of the stepmother, she insulted Dhruva or whatever, and told him that he would have to take another birth to become the king, to sit on the king's lap. So that didn't come true. But the insult was the impetus, the cause of Dhruva's going to the forest and performing bhakti, etc. So it was not a completely bad incident, in spite of the fact that it can be criticized. So, of course, we could say maybe that's an arrangement of the Lord. But generally, it's not good, such criticism by persons like that. It's not a healthy thing, it's a material sign, so it's not considered good. We see the curse of the Brahmins on Sringi. He cursed Parikshit. So that also was not a justified curse. It was not proper for him to do so. Nevertheless, it was also an arrangement of sorts by the Lord so that Bhagavatam could be spoken. And so Parikshit did not protest that. He could have counteracted the curse, but he did not do so. So that was, we said, the will of the Lord and the will of Parikshit.
What should be one's goal? Whether going back to Godhead, or what should be one's goal of life? Whether going back to Godhead, or whatever this is situated.
Goal
of life.
The goal of our goal is to go to the spiritual world. That's called salokya. It's a type of liberation. But the devotee desires service, not going to the spiritual world. To get a spiritual body or to get a place in the spiritual world. These are types of liberation. So the devotee can accept them, provided service is there. But the main goal is service, not these other things. So if things are not there, but he has service to the Lord, he accepts that. If he goes to the spiritual world and has no service, he doesn't accept that.
How about the devotee to decide to go back to Godhead?
Well, in that sense, we just attain the Lord. And attain the Lord in service to the Lord, not do nothing. Well, we also seen that Lord Chaitanya also was hearing the Bhagavatam and of course the Jayadev's Gita Govinda and things like this, and due to the ecstasy of separation from Radha, then he had his transformation to the body. So it's not that he only listened to the story of Dhruva, so he also listened to the Rasa Lila and his whole stories of Krishna and whatever. Well, if we hear the conduct of Vaishnavas, how they resolve the issue of aparada or offense, and then it's purifying. But of course, that doesn't mean we don't do anything, read the story, forget it, and then we're purifying. So we have to also act in the proper way.
Thank you. Yeah.